Ringers.
I'm sure this year has been a trying time for many of my subjects throughout these islands, but as usual, I've had it worse. I've got Americans coming out of my ears. Not only has one got that Jaffa cake lunatic waddling over on a presidential visit in February, but one also has Harry's fiancée, Meghan Markle, coming over for Crimbo. Normally, Americans coming to visit would be a source of joy. One only had to say, the Yanks are coming to my sister Margaret, and it would be lippy on, eyebrow pencil up the back of the legs and knickers off before one could say howdy. But having Americans for Christmas is problematic. You see, they think Christmas with the Windsors is as posh as it gets. But behind closed doors, we're actually just like you. The tree still has decorations on it Philip bought from Argos in 1978. And after lunch on Christmas Day, we all slob in front of the telly with some cans in our onesies, watching the Fools and Horses marathon on Gold and play Pin the Tail on the Fergie. But with Chris Perfect Princess Malibu here, we'll have to go full royal, yawn, put on hunter wellies and barber jackets and pretend to like being outdoors. Eat our 9-course turkey leftovers banquet in the George II dining room instead of in front of the telly, watching the world's strongest man on Channel 5. Bummer! So, yes, with a bit of luck, when we see Meghan off from Sandringham on the 27th, she'll leave with the impression us Windsors are the height of sophistication, and one can finally let off the epic Brussels sprouts fart one's been holding in for 2 days. Oh, and let Philip out of the cupboard beneath the stairs. I'm locking him in on Christmas Eve. One's not taking any chances. Queen out.
You've reached number 10. I can't come to the phone right now, as Arlene Foster is roasting my chestnuts over an open fire. Please leave your message after the beep.
Prime Minister, it's David Davis here, your Brexit bulldog. I'm sorry about that kerfuffle about those impact assessment reports. I know I should have done them, but I'm a busy man. All kinds of things got in the way. In February, I found a new app on my phone, and that sidetracked me for a good 4 months still. At least I know what Anna Soubry looks like with a cowboy hat on. So I don't think it was time wasted. Don't worry, I've got a plan to keep those angry backbenchers happy. I'm going to write them all Christmas cards. Well, when I say write them all Christmas cards, I'm actually going to do nothing and say to them, did you get that Christmas card I wrote you? And they'll be too embarrassed to say no. It's an old dodge, but it works every time. Except on select committees, of course, but you live and learn. But yeah, I don't think we need to give Johnny Foreigner all those billions of euros and do all that sitting about in meetings, eating croissants. I've got a better idea. See, I was watching ITV3 yesterday because, as you know, it's a weekday, so it's one of my days off. And I was watching their Christmas movie, Mrs. Doubtfire, and it suddenly struck me. If I dress up as a woman and act all alluring, Claude Juncker will fall in love with me and we'll get married. He'll get bored and have a mistress because that's what French people do. Well, I assume he's French. I've never asked him, to be honest. I'll pretend to be all sad and upset and hold my head in my hands like I did in that select committee. And I'll get half of all the EU cash as part of the divorce settlement. Anyway, long story short, I'm in the back of a cab dressed as a woman, slathered with Givenchy and ready to show Claude Juncker exactly what regulatory alignment means. Brexit bulldog out.
You're watching BBC Two. Ever wondered what Harry Potter would look like grown up? Here's Louis Theroux.
I'm in Lapland. The man I'm here to meet claims to bring happiness to children all around the world. But I want to see if I can uncover a dark secret that will expose another side of his personality and get me a new series on Netflix. Hello?
Hello! Do come in! Ho, ho, ho!
Hi, I'm Louis. I've put a wide-angle lens on the camera to make you look distant, and I'm going to approach you cautiously to give you an air of weirdness. Is that okay? Is that fine? Can I do that?
Marvellous!
So, this whole world in one night thing. Would you be offended if I said I found that hard to believe?
No, not at all.
Oh, right. Now, you've got a lot of names, haven't you? Does that confuse you? Having so many names, is that a bit weird?
No, it's fine.
So you don't have an identity complex, then?
Nope, I'm perfectly happy.
I was beginning to worry that I wasn't going to get any classic TV moments out of Santa that would pay for the repairs on my condo in LA. So I decided to try the classic Louis Theroux gambit. Santa, do you mind if I ask you a vague question and then stand here rubbing my chin and staring until you incriminate yourself?
If you like, it's totally up to you. I mean, that sort of tactic's not going to work on me, but you're welcome to try it. I suppose you're expecting me to admit that I represent an outmoded and paternalistic moral code and that I employ what are essentially children to work in my toy factory as slave labour. Besides, I was invented by Coca-Cola!
Bingo. Goodbye.
This Christmas, get the latest action figure taking all the kids by storm.
I'm here to defeat evil, one brunch with Hamas at a time.
From the Labour Party, it's the official Lack of Action Man figure. Pull his string and listen to his tough talking that sends enemies running in fear.
I have a letter here from Mrs. Plimpton in Walton-on-the-Naze, who is complaining about her water rates.
Armed with an array of deadly weapons, including...
Excuse me, voiceover person, but the only thing I'll be armed with is diplomacy, a limp handshake, and a pot of my homemade gooseberry preserve.
So nothing that does any real damage.
You haven't tried my gooseberry preserve.
Lack of Action Man comes with multiple costume choices.
No, I don't. I've got one beige polyester suit I found in a skip behind Budgeons.
That's quite enough from you. If you do want the Lack of Action Man to shut up, simply remove the batteries or ask him his real opinions on Brexit.
Oh, God. Press Secretary Huckabee.
It's Donald.
It's 4 a.m, sir.
I keep thinking about my trip to the UK next year. I need to brush up on my English. Because everyone speaks it over there. Wonderful people, wonderful. You know they worship the Queen. She's like a female, me.
Yes, sir.
So we'll start by going to Buckingham Castle. Then 10 Downing Street Castle. Then popping over to Jerusalem, and then we're going to have...
Okay, sorry, sir. Jerusalem? That's not in England, sir.
Yes, it is. They built it there by the Satanic Mills. I should never have made it capital of Israel.
Okay, sir. Now, if you don't mind, I need some rest.
Oh, and we got to visit Bethlehem. I think it's in Kent. And we should stand up for that guy, the innkeeper.
Innkeeper?
The one who turned Mary and Joseph away. That guy gets a bad rap. But I'm in the hotel business. Two people turn up on Christmas Eve, the busiest day of the year. Without reservations? Come on. Of course the guy's going to get turfed out into the bar, and that's just good business.
Okay, sir. Now, if you
And that King Herod, we should throw our support behind that guy. Sure, killing babies, that's bad. But there's blame on both sides there. No one's talking about what the babies did to Herod, you know? We should get Herod to run for Alabama next time.
Happy Christmas, sir.
I invented that phrase, Happy Christmas. Obama wants everyone to say Merry Isis and a Hamas New Year. But I stopped that. Sarah?
Yes, sir.
Sarah, how many sleeps till Christmas?
Three, sir.
I better start sleeping then.
The sooner the better, sir.
I'm asleep now, snoring.
I'll go then, sir. Good night.
I can't hear you because I'm asleep.
Hello, I'm Joan Bakewell. And at this joyous time of year, I'm here to remind you to listen to my Radio 4 series, We Need to Talk About Death. In each episode, we discuss some eye-wateringly grim aspect of the dying process. Be it the different types of pain relief available in your final hours, or what to do with the corpse of a loved one immediately after they've croaked. It's the perfect way to get into the Christmas spirit. And my hope now is that even when you turn the radio off and go into another room to cuddle the cat for a bit, you'll still be thinking about death. As you open the final window of your advent calendar and see a jolly fat man in a red suit, you'll think to yourself, he reminds me of death. Your auntie will read out a cracker joke asking, what do you get if you cross a sheep with a kangaroo? And the answer that will come to you is death. That's we need to talk about death. Let's face it, you listen to Radio 4, so you're probably a masochist anyway.
This is BBC One, where we're all loving the heartwarming Christmas ident of the dancing single dad and his daughter, and not stopping to think why her mum just upped and left without warning 3 years ago, and what's in that locked trunk he keeps hidden in the attic. And it wouldn't be Christmas without some lovely, whispery David Attenborough.
First, we gave you Blue Planet, a majestic look at the oceans teeming with life, such as the firefly squid, the narwhal, and the hypnotising cuttlefish. Then came Blue Planet 2, where we met the predators, the feared Sainsbury's bag for life, the devastating Amazon bubble wrap, and the single-use Raspberry Fool yoghurt pot. And now comes the third in the trilogy, Dead Planet. This is our world after we've melted the poles, choked the oceans, and totally poisoned the air we breathe. Dead Planet will take us from the charred wastelands of Africa to the charred wastelands of Europe, from the charred wastelands of the Andes to the charred wastelands of... Okay, you get the idea. There's a lot of charred wastelands. All these years I've been telling you to look after my planet, and did you listen? No. You do realise what you've done, don't you? You've made David Attenborough sad. So you know what you have to do. You have to scour the surface of our dead planet and fashion together from twigs, carcasses and bones to form a crude BAFTA to present to me. Hurry up! And even then, I'll still be cross.
You've reached number 10. Please leave a message after the beep.
Prime Minister, it's your Brexit bulldog here, the master negotiator. Now, you know I'd come up with this great plan to dress up as a woman and marry Claude Juncker. What could go wrong, I thought? Long story short, quite a lot. It all started when I hailed a cab from my hotel in a stunning off-the-shoulder dress and Union Jack waistcoat to hightail it up to EUHQ. I told my driver, Pedro, to step on it, as I had a job to do. And next thing you know, he's taking me by some godforsaken route. I know your game, Pedro, I said. Quick as a flash, I reminded him that the fare was only advisory at the end of the day and wasn't a legally binding contract. Well, Pedro only gets all huffy and drops me off in the seedy part of town, outside a bar where he says he's sure there'll be a job waiting for the likes of me. Only turns out, PM, he took me to a lap dancing club. The barefaced cheek of it. I said to the owner, no way! I'm not cavorting this body for cash. I'm David Davis, the Brexit bulldog. I've got my pride. Well, after about 3 or 4 minutes, he stopped laughing. I said I really did have some scrap of dignity left. Honestly, I did. And he wouldn't just understand being owner of a lowly strip club. Well, he says to me that having put what was essentially a vague question to the British people, that I, as chief negotiator, am now in a hopelessly hamstrung negotiating position, having to insist that we can both leave a trading bloc but remain trading with it by conforming to the trading standards of the aforementioned trading bloc, while at the same time pledging to ignore the aforesaid trading standards, which is economic gibberish that will prove equally infuriating to both Brexiteers and Remainers alike. Long story short, PM, my stage name is Baroness Christel Thatcher, and I've just made €9 pole dancing to Last Christmas by Wham. Brexit Bulldog out.
BBC Radio 4. Coming up later on, we have a festive radio play. Have you ever wanted to hear the nativity story retold, set on a rundown council estate in Bradford in the 1970s? No. Me neither. So let's both give that a miss and crack open a box of Quality Street and dance round to Last Christmas in our Jim Jams. And now here's Maxine Peake with more of those Radio 4 Christmas poems we've all been enjoying so much.
Listen to Christmas.
on Radio 4. A billion frozen flakes of snow fall onto the ground, muffling the angry screams of a mum. Now the Tesco delivery won't come, and I paid 50 bastard quid for that turkey. Listen, the quiet sobbing of a dad as he finally gives up trying to put the Lego Star Wars spaceship together. Listen, absolute silence at the dinner table after Grandpa says something a bit weird about the Weinstein thing. Glug, glug, glug. Recently divorced Auntie Alison pours herself that seventh sherry. Listen. Pew, pew, pew. Little boys shoot drug dealers in the face on Grand Theft Auto. Splatter. Auntie Alison's vomit hits the PlayStation. At least it'll stop the killing. Listen. People scream arguments in paper crowns they've forgotten they're still wearing. Listen to Christmas. And then drink enough sherry to forget the whole thing and come next October, say, that was fun last year. Why don't you come to ours this time? Bring Grand Theft Auto. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Hello and welcome to Newsnight. I'm Evan Davis, a man who looks like an elf wearing stilts. Tonight we're joined by Vince Cable.
Exit from Brexit.
I'm sorry?
It's our new soundbite. I came up with it when I realised that exit and Brexit rhyme.
Does it quite make sense?
I'm sorry?
Well, exiting from Brexit because Brexit means British exit.
And we want to exit from that exit.
But if you exit from an exit, that's just exiting.
Well, no, because... You're right, aren't you? OK, well, not to worry, I've got loads more sound bites. We demand a remain date, like a remain mandate.
No.
Or how about leave is an anagram of evil?
But it isn't.
It is if you can't spell leave.
Mr. Cable, is this really the best use of your time, trying to come up with catchphrases?
Yeah, you're probably right. Perhaps we should discuss the finer details of the new Liberal Democrat farming policy.
What about Brexit from Tiffany's?
That'll do.
Are you planning a Christmas full of seasonal cheer, joyful celebration and grim reminders of the appalling famine in Sudan? Careful now, John, don't ruin Christmas again! Then you need the ultimate John McDonald Christmas Party CD, featuring such classics as Last Christmas. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day you invested it in a dodgy offshore tax scheme, thereby depriving the NHS of the resources it so badly needs. Oh, no, sorry, you gave it away. Including festive favourites, I Wish It Could Be Castro's Birthday Every Day, Fairy Tale of New Labour, and All I Want for Christmas Is You, Universal Credit Reforms. Steady now, John, keep it doonican. Plus, an exclusive duet with Shadow Home Secretary Diane Abbott.
John, I really can't stay.
But, baby, it's cold outside.
But I have to go away.
But, baby, it's cold. And you know why it's cold? Because the weather is a metaphor for the true misery of people's lives, which the bourgeoisie tried to disguise with all this tinsel and eggnog. Let's smash the lot, starting with that tree, the evergreen symbol of the failed capitalist plutocracy. Ah! Cheers!
People of Britain, this is your Prime Minister. At this time of the year, traditionally, I like to pause and give thanks for my blessings and remember those people worse off than me. No, I can't think of any. Now, there has been a lot of speculation that the government's control on power is so weak that it has to check everything with the DUP. In fact, some people have said that the DUP had a hand in writing this Christmas speech. Well, those people must be buck-daft idiots who should wind their necks in. I would also like to categorically deny the suggestion that the DUP were in charge of Downing Street's Christmas display this year. We just felt it would be more festive if the snowmen had bowler hats and little sashes made of orange and were holding up signs that said, "No surrender." I will admit that I'm giving Arlene Foster a present this year, but that's only because I got her in the Secret Santa. Admittedly, £1 billion does slightly breach the 10 quid limit, but what the heck, it is Christmas. Merry Christmas, and bout ye, bout ye. Am I saying that right?
How to make a Christmas art. Take a song that's old and trad and make a new arrangement that's all echoey and twinkly and sad.
We're hawking on the air. We're playing back to back on Sky. Can someone tell me why these ads make people cry?
Now it's in a minor key, sung by some celebrity. All you need's an open fire, some reindeer and a children's choir.
Then smoke some pot and drink some wine. Get smashed enough to write a baffling storyline. And spend at least 600 grand on something only kids on drugs will understand.
A wrinkly old man on the moon, spying through a telescope. A kid who's seeing monsters cause his parents laced his milk with dope. So watch as the golden sterling fills your till, cause you played the ad until they want to kill. Sleep happy that you drove the nation mad. That's how to make your Christmas ad.
Hello and welcome to this week. Joining me are 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and Diane Abbey!
Andrew. 'Tis Christmas. A time for goodwill to all men, except Tories and Blairites. Please stop these Scrooge-like inflections and make merry.
Okay, Diane, you two, it's the last show before Christmas, so everyone's allowed to bring in games. Michael Portillo has got hungry hippos. What have you brought in?
I've brought Jeremy Corbyn.
Hello there.
I thought instead of reducing ourselves to playing games where we're forced to divide into winners and losers, we could all just gather at Jeremy's feet and listen to him tell tales about how he stopped apartheid in South Africa single-handed.
I did, you know, just me and my placard.
Oh, God, what have you done, Diane? You know very well we don't allow Jeremy Corbyn on this week over Christmas.
Yeah, excuse me, everyone. There's about 50 children lined up outside.
I knew it. An old white-haired man sitting on a tiny chair in a very cheap-looking set. They think that this week's studio is Santa's grotto. Diane, I'm going to have to put you on the naughty sofa. The one slightly tinier than the one you are on now.
No, no, you can't.
Don't worry, Diane. I will campaign for your release.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. With your help, I know I will be allowed back on the bigger sofa within the next 30 years.
Well, now I'm going to go outside and explain to them all. Well, I went out to explain, but it's no go. They took one look at me and assumed it's Shrek's Christmas Spectacular. So, joining me later is a 10-year-old wanting a Nintendo DS, an 8-year-old asking if my face is real, a 14-year-old just here to be ironic, and Diane Abbott!
He helped mums across the land cope with the CBeebies bedtime story. He smouldered as a bad guy in, I can't remember, but he definitely got his shirt off. Survive the festive grind with the BBC's Tom Hardy Gets You Through the Agony of Christmas Day podcast.
You've got some roast potato fat on your sparkly M&S top. Don't worry, Susan, I like it dirty.
Let Tom support you through those inevitable testing times this holiday.
Yes, the Labrador's climbed on the counter and eaten half the turkey. But trust me, Susan, I enjoy nothing more than watching you pick dog hair off a gammon.
And allow him to distract you from the endless cooking.
I know you're sweating all over the apricot stuffing, but you should know, I love it when your hair smells of sausage meat.
Tom Hardy will even help you get through those dreaded family games.
Susan, watching you perform Gone with the Wind during charades in that half-whipped, gravy-spattered cracker hat made me feel very, very tingly.
Endure this festive season with Tom Hardy Gets You Through the Agony of Christmas Day from the BBC.
Nice, Susan. No, no, leave the lights on and rub your belly.
Hello, PM. It's your Brexit bulldog here. The master negotiator. Anyway, you know how it seemed my plan had gone totally Dunkirk after I ended up dancing at a lap dancing club? Wrong! As usual, the bulldog came up trumps. Halfway through my latest shift grinding on the pole to Vogue by Madonna, who walked through the door? Only Michel Barnier himself. Our eyes locked together across a crowded room. And you could tell he was attracted to me. He was one of those, is that a Toblerone in your pocket or are you just pleased to see me moments? Which don't happen too often in life. Ah, well, in for a penny, in for a euro. I was hoping for Claude Juncker, but a woman at my time of life can't afford to be choosy. So, next thing you know, I'm back at his penthouse on the sofa. He puts on some Sade, top girl Sade. She's British, you know, even though she doesn't look it. A few minutes later, Barnier's in the bedroom doorway wearing nothing more than a leather posing pouch and a smile as big as our divorce bill. Time to set Johnny Foreigner straight, I thought. I whipped off the wig and said to him, aha, it's not who you think I am. It's me, David Davis, Britain's master negotiator. And he looks me up and down and he says, nobody's perfect. Anyway, long story short, I'm hanging on a ledge outside the window trying to climb down. My stiletto's stuck in the drainpipe and the whole of Brussels can see I went commando. Brexit bulldog out.
You've been listening to Dared Ringers. It was performed by John Colshaw, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson, Duncan Wisby and Lewis MacLeod. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain, Jack Bernhardt, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Lawrence Harth, Max Davis, James Buck, Sarah Campbell, Laura Major and Duncan Wisby. It was a BBC Studios production and was produced and created by Bill Dare.
What an image.